Well, good morning, conference. But I have to say at the start that we are meeting at a time when our future has never been so uncertain. We're living through a period of unprecedented change. We have that unique opportunity, however, to choose our place, to be on the right side or the wrong side of what may be a defining moment in our history. We have that choice to step forward and to be champions of a united community that places reconciliation and healing at its heart, and to be plugged into Europe and the rest of the world. The challenges are many and very real. There's no escaping that. But with every challenge, there is an opportunity. We are a party of vision and courage, having always stepped forward to often make the first steps and frequently the big steps. It is our collective responsibility to rise to this challenge with renewed might and vigour to ensure that every single one of us has that future that we deserve. It's the easiest thing to sell a binary, reductive choice. It's much more difficult to sell a vision that requires people to challenge their own prejudices, their own preferences, and place reconciliation and unity at the heart of the narrative. It is that the really relevant point to make here is that the radical stance is neither a United Ireland nor a Northern Ireland firmly within the Union, but a united community, living, learning, and working together. That is where the transformation will come. At a time of crisis, and indeed this crisis, the purpose, vision, and universal and enduring values of the Alliance Party are more necessary than ever. Alliance is not afraid to step forward and to face that challenge. Peace is hard work, and like anything worth pursuing, it isn't easily gained. It requires leadership, courage, and compassion. And indeed, it is at the times of greatest crisis that the universal and enduring values of Alliance and our leadership, partnership, and understanding become key to defending what is important and to bringing radical change where reform is required. As we meet today, we're in our 15th month without a government. 15-month conference. While there has been many challenges, crises, and breakdowns in devolution over the past 20 years, this time it seems qualitatively different. The achievement of the Good Friday Agreement almost 20 years ago next month was a time of great elation and opportunity. And while Northern Ireland has been transformed in many ways since then, many of the original hopes have not been realised. In too many respects, peace was just seen as the absence of violence. But peace is really about the presence of justice and the presence of reconciliation. For many victims and their families, ongoing needs for justice, truth, and practical assistance to address mental and physical injuries go unrealised. And our society remains scarred by deep divisions and segregation, with the best piecemeal progress towards integration, including in key areas such as housing and education. Too many parties did not step forward to the challenge of building a shared and cohesive narrative for our society, and instead reduced politics to a transactional brokering house for different sections of the community. To turn a famous statement from the Prussian general Karl von Clausewitz on its head, peace became the pursuit of war by other means. With ongoing conflict around issues such as flags, parades, narratives of the past, and language. Many of the achievements of devolution, for instance, greater inward investment, have been overshadowed by missed opportunities, neglected reforms, and the three C's: corruption, clientism, and cronyism. Our economy remains relatively underdeveloped compared to our main neighbours. Our rate of growth is lower, our employment rate is lower, our productivity levels are lower. And all of this before we even consider Brexit. Public services, in particular health and education, are in desperate need of reform. We often have some of the poorest outcomes despite spending the most money relative to our neighbours. Indeed, in Belfast, you can drive less than 2 miles in the same consistency and have a world of difference in terms of quality of life and also length of life. Our public finances are overstretched, but we're still managing segregation to the tune of £1 billion per year, rather than investing in the health service, education system, and the economy. 20 years after the Good Friday Agreement, did we envisage a segregated society? Of course we didn't. The time is now long past due to end this wasteful and ultimately divisive use of public funds. Many of the reforms and changes that are happening in other places are not happening here. And the risk is that we will fall further and further behind in our economy as our economy and society stagnates. And it could take years to catch up. So as we meet, Northern Ireland has no programme for government, no strategic budget, no economic strategy, no investment strategy, no social strategy, no skills strategy, no productivity plan. And again, all before we consider the impact of Brexit. If we are living in a defining historic moment, then Brexit will be viewed as a huge historic mistake, not only an act of self-harm to the UK, but in particular to both parts of the island of Ireland. Clearly, the British government didn't give any thought to Northern Ireland in the event of a vote to leave. It was logically inevitable that Northern Ireland would be placed in an impossible position, faced with the prospect of a border and placed in an untenable economic position. And so it has come to pass. And the implications for Europe and the rest of the world are also evident, as Brexit feeds into a wider rise of nationalism and populism that is undermining the liberal international order. For us in Northern Ireland, the main implications are both political and economic. This is a complex, diverse, and sadly divided society, but it can only work through sharing and interdependence. Yet the implications of Brexit are new borders, barriers, divisions, and friction. So therefore, conference, Brexit poses an existential threat to the concept of a shared and cohesive Northern Ireland. The Good Friday Agreement brought complex and interlocking set of relationships internal within Northern Ireland, north-south, east-west, alongside the principle of consent. It was our joint membership of the European Union by the UK and the Republic of Ireland that provided the underlying environment in which the agreement could operate. So in particular, in a situation where physical borders are introduced anywhere in these islands, there will be a setback and the Good Friday Agreement will be undermined. The risk around borders, however, is not just a question of economic friction. Borders also need to be understood in emotional and psychological terms. Any physical border reintroduced in Ireland will be seen as a loss of the gains of peace and a reversal of over a quarter of a century of change. Economically, Northern Ireland is especially vulnerable from Brexit. And in saying this, do please recall that Northern Ireland is starting from a lower starting point. Even the UK government's own analysis suggests a major economic blow to this region over the next decade and beyond. And Alliance has been almost alone in highlighting some of the other aspects of Brexit. We have platformed some of these already today. There are major challenges in terms of ongoing security cooperation through instruments and mechanisms such as Europol, the European Arrest Warrant, and the Schengen Information System too. And the policing of any border would bring its own challenges, and attempting to do so is in many ways unimaginable. Attention must also be drawn to civil justice matters, for instance, family law and the interest of children, with a particular challenge being the enforcement of judgments. Other matters include access to structural funds, such as the European Social Fund, which complement and build upon what the state can do, and also support large aspects of the community and voluntary sector. An ongoing environmental cooperation, healthcare cooperation, and access to research funding are all critical. Brexit has also thrown the constitutional question back on the table, in contrast to a situation where, despite the legitimate competing aspirations of unionists and nationalists, it had been largely parked. In conjunction with the ongoing cultural war and the trench warfare of what has passed for a talks process over the past year, it has fed an increased polarisation within our politics. We must recognise that many nationalists, and indeed some others, are questioning the functionality of Northern Ireland and looking to a united Ireland, while many unionists are acting irrationally, at odds with their long-standing aspirations, drawing around the wagons and recasting the siege mentality of old. It is in this respect that I have been saying for some time that Northern Ireland is being slowly pulled apart. It would be a cliche, of course, to talk about Northern Ireland being at the crossroads. but major historical choices face not just the society, but the UK and Irish governments that will influence the future direction of travel. And of course, whatever route we take, Kelly Armstrong will remind us that the road will be full of potholes. For Alliance, we must ensure that we don't just seek to remain relevant, but we are in fact having a meaningful and substantial influence over events. And in doing so, we must seek to apply our values and follow our values through, including liberalism, the rule of law, justice, fairness, compassion, integration, and reconciliation. We need to be the innovators who are shaping events, not passive participants. So what does this look like in practice? First of all, we need to get the talks process restored and to find the means to break through the immediate political deadlock. Naomi will talk shortly about our ideas in this regard, building upon the proposals we published earlier this week. Yet any restoration of institutions only provides short to medium term relative stability, but cannot address the more fundamental dynamics without further actions. So secondly, we need to defend the Good Friday Agreement. This has come under attack from some hardline Brexiteers who see it as an obstacle to the implementation of their ideological master plan. Yet we in Alliance know that it must be more than defence. There has to be reform to address the flaws in the institutions and in particular to remove the sectarian divide that's been institutionalised in our politics. Next, we need to deliver measures to address the legacy of the past, implementing the Stormont House Agreement, delivering a pension for the severely injured, alongside proceeding with legacy inquests, and critically from an Alliance perspective in particular, promoting reconciliation. Ultimately, there's not a path to a reconciled and cohesive society unless we can deliver a comprehensive process for dealing with the legacy of the past. Closely linked to reconciliation lies the promotion of an integrated society, with deep divisions remaining so stark and indeed in some respects becoming even more entrenched. There has to be a greater onus on government and others to promote and facilitate integrated education and housing. There's also a clear economic and financial driver to this. Greater and better shared facilities will be more cost effective. So until and unless we can come to terms with the cost of a divided society, we will end up underfunding our public services, failing to invest in key economic drivers such as our skills base and infrastructure, and shortchanging our future. But ultimately, we must return to Brexit. This is the greatest challenge facing Northern Ireland. But Alliance has a plan, a way forward. But before we consider this, it would be better and easier if the UK as a whole was to reconsider the Brexit vote and for the government to offer a second referendum. And conference in that regard, we stand shoulder to shoulder with our sister party in the Liberal Democrats and also progressive forces in the Labour Party, including the recently deposed Shadow Secretary of State, Owen Smith. But if this second referendum is not to be pursued, then it would be more sensible for the UK to enter into a fresh customs union with the European Union. This would go a long way, but not the whole way, to avoiding the inevitability of some form of border emerging within these islands. Yet, this is also fundamentally in the interest of the UK as a whole. All of the credible economic analysts recognise the economic damage that any country path would involve, and key business organisations such as the CBI are calling for the UK to remain inside that customs union. There's this false assumption that there's some choice to be made between trading with Europe or trading with the rest of the world. The European Union is already the most far-reaching model of economic integration and free trade in human history. And the best way for Northern Ireland is to access the rest of the world through working through the European Union and its ability to strike further free trade agreements. As things stand today, I believe there's already a majority in both Houses of Parliament for this course, and it is vital that it is properly tested before it is too late. However, much less focus has fallen on the single market. But in some ways, this is even more fundamental to the UK, and in particular Northern Ireland, than the customs union. It extends to the four freedoms of movement of goods, services, capital, and most notably, people. It's more fundamental, not just the Northern Ireland economy of today, but also for tomorrow. It's central to our future inward investment prospects. Northern Ireland can only be competitive if we're offering a base to the rest of the world. So it's for this reason that the Alliance has been calling in particular for Northern Ireland to continue to participate within the single market. This is the crux of our Bridges Not Borders paper. And at this point, I do want to pay particular tribute to my wider Brexit team, and in particular to Saoirse Eastwood and Maurice Campbell, not least for their huge efforts in drawing up our proposals, which have been so well received. Thank you very much, team. So to date, Alliance remains the only party to have published a coherent and detailed plan for the future economic relationship between Northern Ireland and Europe. If we can get this right, Northern Ireland can be a bridge to the rest of the UK and to the European Union. We can have the best of both camps, the best of both worlds, a foot in both camps. This could be Northern Ireland's greatest opportunity in decades to jumpstart our economy and deliver long-term and sustainable economic change. It beggars belief that either an overtly political insistence on special status on one side of our political divide or a blinkered refusal to consider anything different from Northern Ireland would see this golden opportunity being missed. And all of this would be entirely consistent with the principle of consent. Northern Ireland already does things differently from other parts of the UK. We have a different system of employment law. For instance, I blocked the draconian trade union bill in Great Britain from being introduced into Northern Ireland. Not so long ago, all five main parties were campaigning for a lower rate of corporation tax, in effect creating a much more aligned economic model on the island of Ireland. We already have a single electricity market on the island, and we have agricultural checks between Great Britain and Northern Ireland. None of these alone or together brought the sky down, and nor should doing things differently in terms of the single market do either. So ultimately, this will require devolution to deliver. This approach can be characterised as devo-max. I have to obviously confess that devolution today may seem somewhat unrealistic. But however, in so many ways, whether it's about managing Brexit or anything else, we have to return to the central reality that a shared and cohesive Northern Ireland can only function through devolution. And anything short of that will be an ongoing source of instability. So the prospects around the realisation of our Brexit plan are actually quite positive. And indeed, some of the decisions over the coming months will be pivotal. I do want to thank the Irish Government in terms of their commitment to avoiding hard borders and to protecting the Good Friday Agreement. They get it. Thank you very much. The UK is making the same noises in terms of rhetorical commitments, but they have created this trilemma for themselves. So far, they've committed themselves to avoiding a hard border in Ireland with any infrastructure, to the UK as a whole, leaving both the customs union and single market, and to ruling out special measures for Northern Ireland in both these respects. Even the most advanced free trade agreement in the world would not be a customs union and resolve the Irish border dimension. And the mood of technological solutions are increasingly being debunked as untried and untested. And I would also add, in many respects, actually miss the point of what needs to be avoided. This means that over the coming months, in order to finalise their withdrawal agreement and to secure a transition arrangement, the UK government will have to make a U-turn on something. So Alliance does welcome the commitment of the European Union to providing a backstop insurance policy on the Irish border and the Good Friday Agreement. But I do want to stress that we are opposed to any borders within these islands and believe it's only through our proposals around the customs union and single market that we can best achieve this. I also want to highlight a further challenge. Much of the thrust of what the European Union is offering is essentially defensive in nature. It's about avoiding a border, protecting the agreement and defending existing North-South cooperation. And what is on offer is so far less than the full single market. We have to be conscious of not just avoiding damage, but thinking ahead to the future of the Northern Ireland economy and where growth can be achieved. But none of this can be achieved unless there's a greater recognition of what unites the people of Northern Ireland than divides us. People here have different identities, many of which are multi-layered, diverse, and indeed fluid. All identities and aspirations are legitimate. In many respects, it was the European identity that transcended the competing local identities and allowed many, especially our young people, to buy into something bigger. But we do need to think as to how we can better consider ourselves as a united community and ground this with reference to our universal values. So Conference Northern Ireland can have a bright future, but nothing is certain and nothing is guaranteed. There are choices and decisions to be made, but it must be a future that is in our hands. Thank you very much. So Conference, speaking of the future, indeed the immediate future, I want to introduce the highlight of this conference, the speech by our party leader, and in doing so to pay tribute to the energy and enthusiasm and leadership that Naomi has brought to us over the past 12 months and beyond, and how we are putting forward many of the ideas on the table that provide some hope for holding this society together and building something better and better. So I'm sure, like me, you're hugely looking forward to what Naomi has to say. So please join with me in formally welcoming Naomi to our platform. Thank you very much.